in a 95 going down there and thinking we were going to build a bridge or build a roof and going into a little black church. And I thought we'd get to know the community pastor. And he opened up a service for us to minister in and preach and have our team come in, maybe do a song or two or something like that. And I can just remember sweating blood, like all day praying, like, what am I going to say? Like, these people don't even know me. And just locking myself in a closet and praying and praying and praying. And, I mean, what's a white guy from Minnesota going to be able to say to somebody in Mississippi, you know? And I can remember just praying all day and studying and getting the service. And there's like 3 adults and like 50 kids. And I'm going, okay, and I'm talking about getting plugged into local church. All right, that's not going to fly over very well. So, but God used those moments to teach me how to follow him, like through the course of preaching and teaching and just talking with people. And then we did that for 2 years and then went to Africa. I thought we were going to do some great building stuff and got there and was told we were going to do seminars and crusades the whole time. And I'm like, never talked to in front of anybody in my entire life. And I'm looking at my mom, and I'm like, it's going to be you, like every day for eight weeks. And so sweat drops from Mississippi were like this big. And then went to Africa, they just got just gushes of sweat. But God used those 2 months to, especially our first trip there, 8 weeks, to kind of force me into a situation that I didn't really want to be in. And I think sometimes he's like that. Like he'll push into a situation where you and your flesh would just say no, but he wants to kind of walk you through it because you're going to learn something as you're going through it. And so I appreciate my mom pushing me, you know, over the edge a few thousand times. And it's great to be here with you as well and to share my heart. Josh asked me, I don't know, maybe a month ago, to share, and everything inside me was like, no, don't do it. You know, just don't do it. And I said, yes, I'll come and do it. I was like, who said yes? You know, I didn't say yes, I'm only talking to myself, you know. But he just said, you know, just ask the Lord what he wants you to say, and then just say it, and then sit down, you know. And so, not in those words, but so that's what I do every time I am asked to preach. It's the message is not me to you, it's him to us. I believe what he has is me included, going through this journey just like yourself. And there's days and times where it's not easy, but we need each other, embracing each other, holding each other accountable, and holding each other's arms to walk us through those moments in life. And I believe a lot of us are looking for answers. I think a lot of us, we need to know things. Should we go this way? Should we go that way? Should we say yes to this? Should we sign on the dotted line here? Should we be in this relationship? Should we be in that relationship? Should we be in this network? Should we be in this house? Should we? I mean, there's a lot of people looking for a lot of answers. And you may be here as well, needing answers in your life. And all I can say is you are meant for more than this. That's kind of what God's put on my heart to share with you tonight, is that you are meant for more than this. Not to downplay maybe your job or your work environment or you as a spouse or a single mom or a businessman or leader in your home. Not talking about maybe those specific roles, but talking about the anxiety and the fear and the oppression and the depression and everything else that comes along with it, that you are made for more than that. And I believe that hopefully through tonight that you leave taking something with you that you leave just changed because you've encountered God. You didn't encounter Doyle. You didn't encounter anybody else. Maybe a good time of fellowship and some worship. But you had an encounter with God. Whether we meet here or in a big church or a small church, that you met him. And that's the most important thing. I believe God is taking us into levels, in different levels, in greater levels. And taking things away from us that don't belong to us. And we just need to just trust God and let him walk us through. Psalms 116, if you have your Bible, we're going to hit Exodus 14 in just a little bit. You can hold your pinky there. And but anytime I'm going through some difficult times, I'm just reminded of his goodness. In Psalms 116, verse 12, and I love this. It says, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? And the answer to that is, you can't. You can't repay the Lord for all his goodness to you. And you can scroll down to Psalm 118. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. So you can give thanks because of his goodness to you. And I think along life's journey, I think sometimes there is a tendency that we become more consumed with the path than we do the path provider. You know what I mean? Like, we become more consumed with the healing than we do the healer, and the journey more than we become more consumed with the journey than we do the journey maker. And our eyes come off of him and on it. And when that happens, we fall apart in pieces. And then we wonder why, am I not supposed to be consumed with my hand? No, you're supposed to be a good steward of yourself and make sure you do what you're told and go see your doctors and go do all that stuff. But let him consume you. I'm trying to figure this thing out in life. How did I end up here? Okay, A, B, C, come on everybody, D, E, F, just walking along from point to point, and now I'm on like M. I'm like, how did I get on M? I knew where I was going, A, B, C, and D, and somehow I don't like M. And I've been an M for a very long time. And I'm looking at this N, O, B, Q, you know, the rest of the alphabet, which I'm still learning. And I'm just stuck here in M. I'm tired of being on M. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I'm stuck. And I become so preoccupied with the letter M, my place in life, that I've lost my sight on him. So my joy's gone out the door. You know, grumpy from time to time. I just want to be by myself. You know, I lose that life-giving spirit that he's created me to be. So I don't know where you are on that journey in life. Just forget the letter. Okay? And just be consumed with him. And before you know it, you'll be like, hey guys, I'm not on him anymore. How'd that happen? Well, it's because you fell in love with your creator. You became a partner with him. You found your secret place at home. You get acquainted. You become intimate with him. And before you know it, you look down. Oh, I'm on S. And he's like, Doyle, get your head off. Get your eyes off the S and on me. I'm trying to break it down as simple as I can. Anyways, that's how it is for me. But it helps me to think about how good God has been to me. He's been so good. He has been so good. Psalm 116:12. How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord. I read this just a minute ago. For he is good, and his love endures forever. So I'm so thankful for his goodness. I'm so thankful for his enduring love to me. I mean, who else loves me? Dana, you know, the kids, my mom, you know. I mean, but come on. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he never stops loving you. Psalm 118:8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses. In 13, I was pushed back and about to fall. How many have been there before? Huh? But the Lord helped me. He became my strength. He became my song, and he has become my salvation. In verse 17, gets a little attitude, the psalmist does. He says, I will not die, but I will live and will proclaim what the Lord has done for me. In verse 21, I will give you thanks for you answered me, and you have become my salvation. Verse 24, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it, rejoice and be glad in it. And we're going to close in 29, not the service. Hang tight. Hang this little part. Don't go anywhere. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. There's so much to be thankful for, to keep our minds off so much the journey and more on the journey maker. Because there's something he wants to show you while you're going through what it is that you're going through. And one of those things is that you are meant for more than this. Whatever weighs you down, you are meant for more than that. Whatever brings anxiety into your life, you are made for more than this. I believe the ministry is going to a new level. Your lives are going to a new level. You're being pushed into things. My mom's always pushed me to do stuff in a nice way. Whether it be through the birth of a child, a ministry, a new job, and you're saying, I'm not ready for this. But God knows. Psalm 103, if you're not convinced enough on how good God is, before you get to Exodus 14. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. I mean, you can stop right there and close the Bible. I mean, that's that in a nutshell is John 3:16. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things. Satisfies your desires with good things. Nothing ever good happens to me. He satisfies, well, you better get different desires, because he says he satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. We're going to look at Moses here in just a moment. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. I need a real big amen on this one. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Amen. I don't know. You can't figure. I mean, there's things in your life you have a hard time just figuring out why certain things are. Just let it go. And say, God, the bottom line is you love me. You have your best interest in my life. I'm going to a new level, a higher level. And I'm going to follow what you want me to do, whether it's easy or not. You know why? You know why he pushes us into the season sometimes, or pushes us through those seasons, or gets us moving? Because he wants to bring breakthrough in your life. One thing I've learned is that sometimes breakthrough requires follow through. That you got to get it started. I mean, you got to get it moving, and God wants to meet you wherever you are. Griping, complaining, I want to lose 30 pounds last year. You know, stuff my face with, you know, licorice and pop at work. And I said, you know, God, I'm believing for a breakthrough. He says, follow through with your breakthrough. So I decided, okay, when the sun comes up, when it starts getting above 30 degrees, I'm going to start running outside. And so I blame it on the 7 months of winter. Hey, what can I say? Then I started running. Then I'm down about 16 pounds since last summer. Last Christmas, I should say. But that was just a personal breakthrough in my life. He wants you to have a part in your own breakthrough. Amen? Yeah. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. He wants you to have a part in it. Not that you would get the glory for anything, but he would get the glory for all things. You see, what you commit to the Lord, he will commit to you. And when you let go of what's in your hand, God will let go of what's in his hand. Did I say Exodus 14 yet? Did I say another verse? Can't remember. Exodus 14, if you got your word with you, turn quickly there. We're just going to walk through a real familiar passage of Scripture. Scripture. Exodus 14. You just kind of read through the word here. So hang on tight. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near, Josh, you know how to say that word? No. Between Migdol and the sea. Just kidding. Pi Hahiroth. Between Migdol and the sea. And they are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. And Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all this army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he made his chariots made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt and with officers all around them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh the king so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. And the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. And as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. Everyone say, looked up. And there were the Egyptians. Dun, dun, dun. And they were marching after them. And they were terrified, and they began to cry out to the Lord. Anyone ever cry out to God before? It's like two of us. Great. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die in the desert? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And Moses answered the people and said, do not be afraid. Stand firm. Everyone say stand firm. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you in today. And the Egyptians will see you today. The Egyptians you see today. Everyone say, see today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. That's a powerful statement. I mean, right there. Moses, my leader. I mean, if I was walking through, about 2 million people or so, I'd say, right? Walking through that sea or running from them up to the point of the sea. And Moses, my leader, says to me or says to us collectively as a group, God's got something he wants to tell you. And this is what he's going to say. And what he says is, you know those people and all those horses and all those tanks coming towards you? You will never, ever see them again. It's quite a word. I mean, that's like a bomb, right? Yeah. Boom. Ooh, that's heavy. You know what I mean? Okay, great, Moses. Thanks. Come on, kids. You know, everyone's so busy doing their stuff, right? But I mean, but the voice of the Lord came and spoke a powerful word that they would never see those guys ever again. And they probably heard a lot of things from Moses. Some of it probably didn't come to pass. Some of it probably did. So, you know. In verse 14, it says, of chapter 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. How awesome is that? And just don't do anything. Well, how am I going to solve this situation? Don't do anything. I'll handle it for you. Just stay put. You're going to mess it up. Don't say anything and tell you to say it. Or, you know, don't do anything. Don't go knocking on your boss's door just yet. Make sure you talk to me first. You know? Don't screw it up. Just stay put. I think we Christians sometimes, we get like too, we screw things up too much. And best thing you can do is just be still. Just be still. When you don't know what to do, be still, right? So the Lord will fight to you. You need only to be still. In verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" I was like, "I'm not crying out to you. The people are." He's like, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." You just told me to be still. Now you're telling me to move on. Would you make up your mind? What do I do? Doesn't that sound weird, you know? Lord will fight to you. Just be still. No, the Lord wants me to tell you to move on. And be still. And move on. But he said, "Why are you crying out to me? Move on. You have a situation that doesn't look really good. And it's coming towards you really fast. Move on." Verse 16. Okay, breakthrough. Requires a what? Follow through. So he tells Moses, "Raise your staff. Do something about it. You got all these people coming towards you. What are you going to do about it?" I was told to be still and to move on. I don't know anything else. Right? That's all I know. Be still and move on. Be still and move on. He says, "Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide that water so your people can walk through it." He says, "I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army in verse 19, withdrew and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud also moved in from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt in Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. And verse 21 says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea." So we have the initial command of God to stretch out your hand. And he says in verse 21 that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall to the right and a wall to their left. In verse 23, we're going to wrap this up here in the next few verses. It says, "The Egyptians pursued them, and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. And he made the wheels of the chariots come off so that they had difficult driving. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us get away from the Israelites, for surely the Lord is fighting for them.'" And then the Lord said to Moses, right? He had the initial command to follow through with his breakthrough. So he stretched out his, my Bible's going far. He stretched out his rod. What the heck is going on? My wife's purse, everything going everywhere. And he made, and then he said in verse 26, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back." So you have that initial command from God. This is what I want you to do. You want breakthrough? Well, I need some follow through, buddy. Raise your staff and do something about it. So that's what he did. But a period of time had passed. Not sure how long. Scriptures, I don't know, say hours or minutes, seconds, where 2 million people scurried through the Red Sea. And the Bible says that God gave another command. Now, had God not commanded Moses to stretch back his, would Moses have just forgotten, you know? Let's just keep running. I mean, of course he's not going to outrun the chariots. So God's got to say something here. He's going to screw this story up, you know? All those kids' books that have been written. So God writes another command, and he says, Hey, you ain't going nowhere. These guys are going to catch up to you quick. Stretch out your hand over the sea. I mean, Moses should have figured that out, right? Well, if this worked this way, wong. I mean, he's wong, you know. But God's like, I got to get in there. And he stretched out his hand over the sea so the waters flow back over the Egyptians and the chariots. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And at daybreak, the sea went back into its place, and the Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea, and the water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen. No one No one of them had survived. So God had sealed the deal. He closed the deal, told Moses what to do, and finished it off. And it's kind of like what happens in between commands. You know, God will have you do something. Let's say you're just going through your season in life, and you don't know what to do other than just to obey God. God, I'm just going to step out because I feel like this is what, you know, you want me to do, and I'm just going to believe in you and trust in you. Well, don't give up hope. Just wait it through. God's going to speak to you again and say, okay, now it's time to do this. And now it's kind of time to do this. And now it's, he's not just going to leave you in there. Once he tells you to do something, he's going to keep walking you through that season. So this all leads, everything that I've been talking about leads into two questions. What does he want you to do? And secondly, why aren't you doing it? Sometimes it's fear, oppression, guilt, our belief system, sin. I may have shared this before at another time preaching. I can remember years ago on my way to church in Burnsville, and a beautiful day. It was like 80 degrees, 85 degrees, and I thought, oh, I'll bless my wife and wash her car. So I pulled up into Quick Trip. Our McAndrew's there. Got the gas and was walking into the gas station and to pick up a car wash ticket. And the sign outside the gas station said car wash closed. I said, oh man, figures. And I kind of had this attitude. I really wanted my car her car wash and had this plan and gonna get flowers and just make it a, you know, nice little thing for her. So I walked in and picking up a few items and I said, oh, it's too bad your car wash is closed. Is your car wash closed? Because there was nobody in the car wash line. It was like 3 p.m. and I thought, man, that's a real bummer for this gas station because it's a good moneymaker. And she goes, oh, no, the sign just never got turned around. And I thought to myself, the sign never got turned around. How many people came into that gas station wanting a car washed but saw the sign and left without getting a car wash because the sign told them the car wash was closed? But I had the audacity and the guts to say, hey, is your car wash closed? It's 85. What's going on here? And I think in life, sometimes we have signs up. You know, it says you are raised a certain way and God doesn't want to bless you. God wants to bless somebody else with a job, or this person with this, and this with this, and I've been taught, oh, you know, a certain way. And sometimes we have signs in our life that we just need to turn around. You know? I thought, how many people have missed getting a car wash that day? Only because they read the sign. Well, the sign was wrong. You know? We need to come boldly to God. And we need to kind of let go of maybe things in our past or things that have kept us, you know, from going a little bit further with Him. Can't get too excited about God. That sign says, don't press in. Don't go to Denny's Omega class. Don't go to, you know, all this stuff the church is offering me. I don't want to get too involved, you know. Just, you don't get too plugged into crazies. You know, just do it. 2 Thessalonians. I got one last scripture. 2 Thessalonians. I was going to say something. I forgot. Lord, help me remember. Let's see. 2 Thessalonians. I didn't mark it. Okay, I found it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. Paul's writing kind of founded a church, his first missionary journey, and everything, and everything is going well, and these false teachers started to come in and discourage the disciples there, and Paul's writing this second letter kind of as a follow-up to kind of clean up what these dirty birds were coming in and doing. But he says in verse 11, he says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling. And we're talking about going to new levels here tonight. That our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Sounds like a breakthrough to follow through to me. You want the breakthrough, you need the follow through. So that's why Paul says, well, may he fulfill all that purpose, all every good thing within you. He desires to fulfill that, but it's got to be prompted by your faith. And as we know, faith without works is what? Is dead. Means we've got to be doing something, not just out of manual duty, but because we love him and pleased to serve him. But that word prompted means to bring forth in its basic nutshell. To move, to induce to action, to bring forth. That word prompted. That he may fulfill every good purpose of yours in every act that was brought forth by your faith. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I feel like I'm running low on promptitude. You know what I mean? Like I just don't have the promptitude. Is that a word? I don't even know. Like my levels are low. You know, you throw books at me and, you know, let's go nuts for Jesus. And I just, when you're running low, you're running low. You know what I mean? And, some of you know, our AC in our van's been out the entire summer. We had a couple weeks stretch where it's like 103, right? We're not griping because people in Texas, what, 130, you know? So, but my kids, you know, in the van, one of the windows in our van's broken. And so, and the AC's broken. So the kids are just like dripping sweat, you know, coming to church and just been a real hot summer. And, my brother came over and tried to, I don't know a lot about cars. So, had this like canister thing called Freon, right? And tried to get our van to suck out that Freon, right? Into the van. And so, yes, recharge your Freon. And the van wouldn't do it. And I was real excited because I thought we were going to have AC. But I thought, why isn't that doing that? Why isn't it drawing on the very thing that could provide the entire van with AC? Well, it could be a pump. I mean, it could be a number of things, right? Just reiterating what so-and-so said and so-and-so said. But it could be a number of things. But the thing was designed to suck Freon out of that canister to make the AC work. And it's like with church or with anything we do with God, we really got to make the most of his presence. Especially corporately when it's there. Not to suck on that Freon, but you know what I mean? Like, just to pull on it. I mean, how many times you gotta sing that song? Sandy, man. Well, you know, 11 times may not, but that song in the center of my heart. I love that one. That's great. You know, I was like 11 times through, and then on the 12th time, I got it. Everyone say he got it. But you just gotta stay with it. I'm just teasing. But I did have a friend of mine catch me in the gym years ago, and he's like, "Oh, you're still going to that church?" I said, "Yeah, I go to the church." And he's like, "Oh, they sing that verse. They sing the same song 20 times." I'm like, "Well, if you get it on the 20th time, wasn't it worth it?" You know what I mean? 19 times, you're like, you know, sleeping through it, and then if you get it on the 20th time, well, tonight, you know, not that I wasn't getting it before that, but it was just like, man, the center of my heart. That's right. Is he the center of my heart? So thank you, Sandy, for bringing that tonight for all of us. So we got to be carriers. We got to not drain God, but we just got to pull on that and take it. We are designed to do that. We are designed to take what God has for us. But that word prompted is a powerful term. The Bible says in John 13:2 that while the evening meal was being prepared, the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. So that word prompted can work in two ways, for you or against you. And we want it working for us. God prompts you to do something. We want you to do it. I believe in 2012, I believe all of us, we better be ready for what God has for us, moving us into something different, into a greater measure of what he wants for us to do. But I can't do it. Well, good. I can do it through you. Let me show you what I want to show you to go through it. But how are you going to handle it? I believe he's ready to act on our behalf. I think the greatest thing that we can do is to find that secret place in our life. It's not a mark on the wall or something that Oprah has taught for years, or it's a place where you can commune with God Almighty and have intimacy with him, and you can pull from him, you can draw from him, and you can give adoration to him, and you can give praise to him, and you can give thanks to him, and you can, you know, extol him and worship him. And then you can take peace from him, and you can take joy from him, and you can take, what do you need out there? You can take strength from him and healing from him. In return, you can give praise to him and thanks to him. And it's just like this, you know, two lumberjacks going at the saw, you know, you just back and forth, you know, and you're just in communion with one another. Sandy, you got a few minutes to come up and play something, and we're just kind of getting into just a few minutes of prayer. And I believe God wants us to kind of return to that secret place. He wants to bring us through new levels. He wants to show you something, kind of summon everything up that I said. He wants to show you what he wants to show you while you're going through it. I want to encourage you to focus more on the path provider than the path itself. Be consumed with who he is. Joshua sharing a story about his friend, and it's always stuck with me. Some of you may have heard this. I don't know, but your friend that does the pigeon stuff, you know? The pigeon race. And I was thinking about that one day, because it blew my mind that you can take a group of pigeons, stick them in a barn, kind of get them there used to the environment, then take all these pigeons and drive as fast as you can hundreds and hundreds of miles away and let them go and watch them all fly back to the barn. I was just sharing that with me. I thought, that doesn't happen. So I Googled it, and sure enough, it happens. You guys heard this? You guys know this, I'm sure. But it's phenomenal. And to those birds, that barn is their secret place. They nest there. They sleep there. They eat there. That's where they were called to be. Just be there. And sometimes in life, we make a decision, or you know, we do something maybe we shouldn't do. We get on this truck that's going in the wrong direction. Some of us just took a wrong step, and poof, and we're gone. Some of us willfully made decisions to leave that place of rest and comfort, peace, serenity, joy. And I believe wherever you are in life, he's bringing you back one step at a time. He's bringing you back to this place. where you belong. It's a fascinating concept to know that pigeons have a sense within them to fly hundreds of miles as fast as they can to a place where they've been cooped up for months and months and months. And it's sad to hear stories of people leaving the church in general, leaving God, young people, old people, babies, and I don't know, parents, just people just leaving, flying fast, just leaving the coop, just going wherever. And that's where they need to be. That's where their protection is, their security, their comfort. I want us to stand tonight. And I want, you know, I want what God wants. I want you to know that God knows your needs. He knows what you need tonight. And we want to pray over people with needs tonight. I mean, why come to church, hear a word, and leave and not, you know that someone prayed with me? I had something on my heart. I know it's a great message, Doyle, but, you know, I still left, and I gotta go home and deal with this, you know? We don't want you to leave tonight. This is not a scary place, you know? This is a safe place to receive from God. We just take just a moment and receive from Him tonight. Lift your hands to Him. If you never lift your hands before, just do a little bit, a little gunshot, or just in your own way, just open yourself up to Him. God, we want to receive from You tonight. But first, God, we want to thank You. Psalm 116:12 says, "How can we repay the Lord for all that He has done for me?" So in your own way, just worship Him tonight. Open up your heart to Him. Forget about your situations that you're going to have to deal with at home or at the workplace this week, or choices or things you're going to have to do. Say, "Lord, my attention's on You now. It's off my situation and on You." Thank You, Lord. And quickly, we want to pray with you tonight. You have a need that's been troubling your heart. Maybe it's not even something that's so burdensome. You just need someone to come alongside you and say, "You know, I got enough. Next couple weeks are going to be, it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I need someone to pray with me." Would you quickly come on up, make your way out from your seats, and I want to pray with you specifically. Come on up tonight. Something that you need God to do in your life. Maybe it's a provision. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's healing in your body. I want you to know that God's here to meet you. And if not, that's fine too. But I know that He desires to show Himself to you. You may be here tonight and say, "You know what? I haven't seen God do anything for me in a long time. Think God would do it for me?" You need God to do something in your life tonight. I just want to pray with you. I just want to hold your hand. Pray with you just for a minute. Let Him draw you. Don't let me draw you. Let Him draw you. Let Him bring you here. We get hungry. We go to Mickey D's. We go through the drive-thru. We order number 2. Extra large fry, extra ketchup. We go through that line with boldness, with confidence. We look that lady in the eyes and say, "Thank you." No fear, no shame. This is God here. He wants to meet you tonight. No appointment necessary. You just come on. You don't have to schedule in His book, "God gonna meet you tonight." You just come on up. God wants to meet you. Don't face it alone. Tonight I talked about prompting, about being prompted in your faith. Maybe you're running on low levels of promptitude tonight. You just need a kickstart in your week coming up starting tomorrow. You need some strength. You're just kind of running low. If that's you tonight, come on up. Don't be shy. Let Him bring you. You're not meeting me, you're meeting Him. Another brother, I'd stand behind Michael. pray for him, just kind of become unified here. Someone want to come on up? Thank you, Lord, for Michael tonight.
Storm will cease when I speak. As I lay my life before you, Lord. this place are called by God and of God. And you're wondering, why, God, am I not seeing anything right now? Why is this journey so long? Why, God, why? And the most important thing is that we stay on the journey. We stay on that path. That's the most important thing, is that we not get off the path. You know, as Doyle was sharing tonight, you know, when he was a little boy, God told me that he was going to be called God. And I believed that all these years. And we need to believe what God has spoken to your heart. It doesn't matter about how long it's taken. The most important thing is that you're going to get there. And there are really, truly people called tonight in this place that have a strong calling on their life, and that you're on a journey and you're thinking, God, you know, this journey seems so rough, you know, it's lumpy and bumpy. I can't see, you know, what you got for me. You gotta see it with your heart. You gotta know in your heart. You know, when they went into the land of milk and honey, they went in there, you know, a lot of them went in there and they came back and they said, hey, we can't go in there. We can't face those giants. And who knows that God is fighting for us? But there were two that really believed. And God's saying tonight, don't look at the giant. Look at who I am. Look at who I am. I'm bigger than the giant. There's no giant that is too big. And he's saying to you, he has a love for you. And it's a deep love. And he's saying that you've tackled some giants. And your day is coming when you're going to shine. You are going to shine. And people are going to stand around that knew you and could only say it was God. Because nobody else has been able to fight this fight for you but God. And if it's okay, if I could just pray for you, could you come up and let me pray for you? Because I really feel that God wants to pour something into you. Just come up.
Follow me, let the power of Starting to understand, but you know what, there's a contentment that you start to grow into where it doesn't matter anymore because he's the journey. So it doesn't matter what's so much on the outside, although, you know, by faith we want to receive and take hold of what he has for us in any particular season, but it's what he has, and as long as we're with him. Get everyone that needed prayer tonight. Because boy, we'll burn the midnight oil. We're not afraid. No, really. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. God, you're good. Thank you, Dove. Coming.
Yeah.
You find it okay? Just kidding. Just stretch your hands towards oil. Father, we thank you for moving in his life. Father, we thank you for the next season in his life, what you have for him. Father, I just pray that you'd squish it out of him. The Lord, squish it out of him, Lord. God, we just thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing some things to the surface, Lord, and that fire of God is burning in him, Lord God, like it was in Jeremiah, and he can't hold it back. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing him into the fullness of what you have. God, put him on the Holy Ghost treadmill. In Jesus' name. Not to lose a pound, but I mean to move ahead. Hallelujah. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Send them, Lord. Grace and anointing, God. Rivers of living water. Father, we thank you. We thank you that his steps are ordered of you. His steps are ordered of you. Father God, you are the one who opens doors, God, and you're the one who shuts them. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring them to places, Lord God. Father, we thank you for giving him eyes to see, even in a greater way, Lord God. We know he sees and we know he hears you, but Father, in a greater way, we thank you, Lord. Never lost, but they He's bringing them to the surface. And no more trickles, but rivers. Rivers, expect it. Continue to press in. And know that a moment is never lost in God. Shabu shake kaba, shake them off, shake it all off. And open the satasko. Isa rusa, rusha, rusha, rusha. Istaraba, rebelusine, mate. Iki arise, 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 open mind. Open the mind, open the mind. I see it. The seed is in protesi, prophecy in it. There is now kamini mondre, fire in the city. Coming into it. Keep pressing, oh, keep pressing. Woo! Shakaba shikikamanai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for that grace and anointing, God, that you placed on his life. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, this guy's got an awesome gift of encouragement on his life. Exhortation, that's needed. You know, Paul couldn't have did what he did if Barnabas wasn't with him. You know what I mean? They called Barnabas the son of encouragement. And probably after you listen to Paul, you probably needed some. But just like you need two bookends, the one bookend isn't going to do you any good if you don't have the other one. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. We need every part to come together, joined, knit together, connected together by what each joint supplies. So we appreciate you. We appreciate everyone here. Whether your gift is seen or unseen, it's not the point. It's not the point. The gifts that are not seen are more important. There is no higher calling than love the Lord your God. And prayer is the highest ministry calling. There is no higher calling. Yeah, what's it? Yeah. But Jeff's going to help her. Awesome. We pray for you. We pray for you. We can pray for you there too if you want. No, I want you to. Thank you.
Speed.